afternoon. This is the 3HL, powered by the Tennessee Lottery, with Brent Daugherty and Don Davenport.
NHL powered by the Tennessee Lottery here on 104.5 The Zone. Talking Tennessee and Alabama to kick off the 4 o'clock hour. Jason Swain coming up at 4:15. Lots to discuss across the SEC and up at Rocky Top. And then Brooke Pryor talks Titans-Steelers coming up at 5:15 in our final hour. Plus, Don has got Vols tickets coming up in about 15 minutes. For you, if you'd like to head to Knoxville this weekend for the fourth Saturday in October for Tennessee and Alabama, we've got tickets for you. So hang tight for your chance to win there. I'm not Brent Daugherty. I'm Will Bowling sitting in for Brent this afternoon. Don Davenport with me. And we want to talk with you guys about Tennessee and Alabama. 615-737-1045. And the question I'm going to throw out there, and Don, we'll give you the first opportunity to give your thoughts on this. What makes Saturday a success for Tennessee against Alabama? Tennessee's not going to win on the scoreboard, but what victories can they take away from Saturday's game against Alabama? 615-737-1045, if you want to jump in on the conversation. A lot of different ways you could go with this, even though, Don, I know that lots of Tennessee fans are going to refuse any moral victories, but you've got to take away something positive in order to keep moving in the right direction this season.
I don't think it's putting it in a moral victory kind of column, not necessarily that, but as a Tennessee fan, what do you have to see this weekend to not want to fire your coach and get rid of all the quarterbacks and, you know, to not go drastically down another road there after the Kentucky debacle last week. By the way, I want to know this too. So let me know when you call in, if you want to hop in on this. Again, that's 615-737-1045. I want to know, Tennessee fan, if last week's loss felt worse than that Georgia State loss. Where are you on that, Will? Because honestly, I was sitting on the field at Mississippi State watching it on the big Jumbotron. Honestly, with my jaw was kind of on the ground at what was happening in Neyland. So I was shocked, and I immediately thought, wow, I think that this is probably worse than that loss to Georgia State, because of where you felt like you were as a program.
I think I agree. And I think that it's because there's no excuse for what happened last Saturday against Kentucky. When you look at the Georgia State loss, when you look at how Tennessee looked in that game, you can point to a number of reasons of why Tennessee looked that flat. Danny Batuli wasn't there defensively. Derek Ansley was his first game as the DC. It's the first game for Jim Chaney calling the plays at Tennessee in some time as the offensive coordinator. There is zero excuse in year three under Jeremy Pruitt for Tennessee to look the way they did offensively last week against Kentucky, because it was offensive in every way. And we hear so much about Jim Chaney's back for Jarrett Garantano's got the same OC 2 years in a row. You know, he's making more reads, more checks at the line. There is zero reason for Tennessee to lose to anybody not named Georgia, Alabama, or Florida at home in the SEC the way they did on Saturday. And really, lots of Tennessee fans will tell you there's no reason for them to lose to anybody the way they looked on Saturday. Inexcusable in every way, and I think it's absolutely a lower point than what Georgia State was a season ago.
Let's check in with Mark out of Bowling Green, see what he has to say about it. Mark, you're up. How are you?
Are you there?
Yeah, Mark, you are on the air live. It's all you. Hit it.
So do you all actually, does a Tennessee fan actually think they'll ever be in the Final Four or the playoffs in today's football?
Yes, absolutely. Tennessee fan thinks that they will eventually be there. Yes.
Yep.
I don't think it ever happened.
Why is that?
The recruiting. The recruiting is horrible. Everybody goes to Alabama, Ohio State, Florida, Oklahoma. All the big schools, Georgia, went.
It's in class right now.
We'll be in the bottom.
Hold on, Mark. Mark, are you a Kentucky fan?
No, ma'am. Not a bit. No.
Okay. Okay, so he is talking about recruiting. Will, to that point, at least, and we all know that you can only put so much stock in the star system, right? But to that point, Tennessee has a top 10 recruiting class right now. 2 years ago, they had what? Top 15 recruiting class.
Yep.
I can't remember what last year's was, but it's you know, it was a decent recruiting class. So I'm not sure if recruiting, a knock on recruiting is legit or accurate for this Tennessee football program. And obviously we talk a lot about, you know, Butch Jones. He could recruit the heck out of players that just never ended up fitting what he needed or wanted to do offensively or defensively.
Yeah, if you're going to knock Jeremy Pruitt at anything right now, it's managing an offense. It's developing another option at quarterback behind Jarrett Garantano. I'm not sure recruiting is the go-to argument for why Jeremy Pruitt won't succeed at Tennessee. There are arguments to be made about why Jeremy Pruitt could not be a total success at Tennessee. Recruiting is absolutely not one of them. They got the top player at Alabama and Dylan Brooks, who's a five-star defensive end. They've got a five-star quarterback this year. They've got a guy on the verge of being a five-star quarterback next season with Caden Salter out of Texas. No, I completely disagree. There's no knocking recruiting as being the reason why Tennessee is not where they are right now.
If you look at 24/7 Sports, 2019 football recruiting rankings, because that was the one I couldn't remember, Tennessee was 13th in their list. With 2 5-stars, 10 4-stars. So the SEC programs that were ahead of them, that's where you jump into the conversation, right? Alabama 1, Georgia 2, Texas A&M was 4, LSU 5, Florida was 9, Auburn was 11, Tennessee at 13. So they were ahead of Ohio State that year.
Yeah. And look, David Ubben wrote a great piece about this in The Athletic in early August, looking at the 4-year composite of a team's recruiting rankings and how big the gap is, just comparing them to Florida. Florida in the 247 rankings, their average ranking was 10th over the last 4 seasons. Tennessee was 15th. So at Tennessee, even under Butch Jones, they had Khalil McKenzie, who was one of the top players in the country. They had Trey Smith, who was the top player on the ESPN 300 that season. They've been able to get good players. Right now, it's the development at the quarterback position that is holding them back from showing how many strides they've made elsewhere, because without the quarterback position, it doesn't matter how good you are elsewhere. That can ruin a game for you, and that's partly what happened last Saturday against Kentucky.
Let's talk about this with Jason Swain on the other side. I have Tennessee tickets, by the way, to give away. So stick around for that. Make sure you wait and hear the cue to call, and you can win 2 tickets to see the Vols play.
Jason Swain coming up next. We'll get his take on what makes Tennessee and Alabama a successful Saturday and how Tennessee can move forward after the loss to Kentucky. We'll hit all that when we come back, plus your chance to win Tennessee tickets. All coming up next year on 3HL, powered by the Tennessee Lottery on 104.5 The Zone.
This is your Fever. Jason Swain is on the 3HL, presented by Gary Ashton of RE/MAX Advantage on 104.5 The Zone.
3HL, powered by the Tennessee Lottery here on 104.5 The Zone. Will Bowling, Don Davenport with you, and we have got Tennessee tickets coming up here in a couple of minutes. Your chance to head to Knoxville this Saturday to watch the 4th Saturday in October between Tennessee and Alabama. And before we do that, though, let's catch up first with Jason Swain, the Swain Events, joining us here this afternoon on 3HL. Swain, I talked to your guy, Ben McKee, this morning on my UT podcast here on The Zone. We've got you now here on 3HL. I'm getting the full Swain event experience today. That's right. It's a very good thing.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Thank you for having me. I hope y'all are well.
We are good. Could be better based on what we're talking about with Tennessee, though. And let's start with
Titans. Titans, yeah. Right?
Right. Right.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Let's talk about the Titans.
Let's start.
Talk about quarterback wise with the Titans. That's for sure. Yeah. That's a very different situation at quarterback, Titans and Vols.
As many parallels as those two teams have had for the past couple of years, they could not be in more different places at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been a rough couple of days. Just because against Georgia, you say, hey, I mean, you know, Georgia possibly has the best defense in the country, and they have all this talent, and, you know, that's, yeah, okay, you had a bad game. Come back, flush it, get ready for the next game, and then you go out and basically do the exact same thing, but actually worse on offense, where you gave up pick sixes. And so you really just lost because – the quarterback position is a problem. It is really a problem. And then, you know, you sit there and you wonder, like, how did we get to this point? You know, in year three of Coach Pruitt, year two of Jim Chaney, how are we stuck between a rock and a hard place where, you know, you feel like you have to play a quarterback that's quite frankly struggling. And any other situation, any other moment in time, that quarterback would probably be getting benched for someone else. But at this moment, you don't have anybody else to play that you feel comfortable with. So it's been a very frustrating week for sure.
My take is now's not the weekend to play somebody else anyway. Like the last thing I would think you want to do is we actually had a Tennessee fan call in and say that's soft. But my take is you need to protect a very fragile mental state of a true freshman quarterback and not throw him in for his first start against Alabama. Is that a crazy take?
No, it's actually not soft. It's actually the truth. So, you know, that's one thing that I had, had the same thought, is it's definitely time for someone else to play. It's certainly time to see what someone else can do. You understand the importance of practice, and that's where you earn your playing time. But maybe there's someone that could, you know, play better than they have in practice. You threw out JT Shrout, and, you know, he throws an interception right then. And so, you know, you go back to kind of what you know based on what you've seen in practice, and that is number two. And so you have Harrison Bailey that a normal year, you know, he would have at least – had enough experience from spring and summer to go out there and the game wouldn't be so fast to him. But, you know, this is the circumstances that they're currently living right now. Is he just hasn't had a lot of reps and he's just clearly not ready. JT Shrout, you know, he was brought here by Tyson Helton. Jim Chaney is the offense coordinator. So that's the predicament, is that you have a head coach and you have an OC that together, they don't have one quarterback on this roster that they brought in together. To me, that's an issue, but no, it's not soft. It's absolutely the truth. You're playing Alabama, the best offense in the country. And do you want to find yourself down multiple scores with a true freshman quarterback that it has to throw every single time now? And now the defense is able to pin their ears back and just take target practice at your freshman quarterback. He gets rocked. He may never recover psychologically. So yeah, I mean, the timing is terrible right now because you're playing Alabama. It would be one thing if you had a bye week and you had an opportunity to prepare, you know, a JT Shroud or Maurer or whoever for 2 weeks for the next opponent. But you're playing the best team in the country, in my opinion. And timing is bad. So it's a tough decision to find yourself at if you're Tennessee.
And we were talking earlier that the best case scenario maybe for Tennessee last week would be JT Shroud taking over that quarterback position and running with it. He missed his opportunity.
Yeah. He don't want it. No one wants it. I mean, people complain about, you know, Jerry Gantano, you know, continuing to play. My complaint is, why hasn't anyone beat him out? Right. What are you doing, Brian Maurer? What are you doing, JT Shroud? What are you guys doing that you can't beat out Jerry Gantano? You need to look in the mirror, and you need to get better. If you can't beat out you know, someone that's playing inconsistent like a Jerry Grantano, for you not to be able to beat out someone that threw two pick sixes, I mean, that says a lot. And instead of harping on the coaches, I look at them, I go, guys, this is your opportunity to take it, and no one has taken it yet. So that's the thing that's so frustrating, is that, you know, you're just hampered and you're handcuffed if you're Jim Chaney when it comes to play calling. Defensively, I feel so bad for our defense because, I mean, they are put in situations where you turn the football over and they have to, like, play perfect defense just to even force a field goal, just to give up 3 points. So, you know, this defense is playing very well right now. And honestly, I thought the offense would be ahead of the defense, but that's not the case at all.
I got a question about defensively, what has gone on here in the last week. Jason Swain, former Tennessee wide receiver, joining us. But first, let's give away some Tennessee tickets real quick, Vols fans, because it is UT Ticket Thursday. So caller number 5737-ZONE is the number. You can win 2 tickets to see the Vols take on Bama at Neyland Stadium this Saturday, 737-0663 or 737-9663. Give JT a call. Caller number 5 wins. Good luck to you. All right, Swain, let's talk about, I know, let's talk this drama, gossip, what's going on. Kentucky Sports Radio releasing a report saying that Jeremy Pruitt decided that he was going to apparently, allegedly, right, fire Jimmy Brumbo during the game last week. What do you know about this?
I saw it. You know, I've not heard that to be confirmed from my side of it. It doesn't make a lot of sense. I know one thing: if you fire me, I'm not going to finish the game. So, you know, I'm
okay,
not going.
That's a legit point. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, hey, you fired, but hey, let me just keep working. No, right. You fired me. I'm out of here. So that doesn't make sense to me. I also know that in heat of the moment, things were said on the headset, where it's like, hey, man, you stink, or I'm getting rid of you. It just doesn't make sense to me. Like, who gets fired and just finishes out the day? Like, no, I'm out. So, no, you want to fire me? Then go ahead. You finish the job. So, you know, it's an unfortunate situation. It stinks. You know, here we are in a pandemic. There's cutbacks financially. And here you are paying a coach to not coach again. And that's been the issue here in Tennessee, is we've been the capital of buyouts. And so, understand the circumstances with the pandemic and unable to spend time with your players and conduct the interviews like the way you normally would. But at the same time, just stinks that 4 games into a season, you're firing a coach and you're paying that coach to not coach, and you have cutbacks and people being laid off because of COVID. That's the part that stinks, and that's what I look at.
Yeah, and too, I thought it was interesting that Jeremy Pruitt said that the passes over the middle can partly be remedied, I guess, by the defensive line just getting their hands up, getting some kind of push and playing behind the line of scrimmage. Terry Wilson was 9 of 10 on passes over the middle against Tennessee last week, which continues to be a very big weakness for now a Tennessee defense that's going to see more speed at the wide receiver position on Saturday than a lot of NFL teams, you could almost say. I'm exaggerating, but a lot of future NFL receivers are going to be on the field for Alabama.
Yeah, I mean, the RPO, the middle of the football field, has not been something that we've been great at covering. And, you know, it starts with great pass rush. And if you can't get there, you know, you're taught to get your hands up. And if you're not taught that, then, you know, as a head coach and defense coordinator, you have to wonder if you have the same philosophy as the teacher at the defensive line position. So that's certainly valid. You know, I think whoever's responsible for the slot, the star position, you know, that position has to be better too, because that's simply one-on-one. That's you beating – you know, the guy in front of you winning that matchup. That's what it's about. So you got to get better play out of that position. You got to try to get to the quarterback, and if you can't, you got to get a hand up. So, you know, I found it to be honestly, I laughed, to be honest. I laughed when Coach Pruitt said the D-line's had their best practice the last four days.
I was going to ask you about that too. Is that – I mean – is this Jeremy Pruitt throwing shade at Jimmy Brumbaugh, or is this just trying to motivate a group that needs a lot of motivating, or maybe even a little bit of both right now?
Oh, that's shade now. That's, I
mean, how can you not take it as shade?
Yeah.
How can you not take it as shade? So, I mean, I kind of laughed and got a chuckle out of it. I mean, this is a tough business. There's a lot of money on the line. It's intense, and I'm pretty sure those guys had a big difference of opinions, and you know, it wasn't like it was a big hug and a handshake. You know, I'm pretty sure, and yeah, I took it as shade, so I laughed.
Jason Swain, our guest. Jason, what's wrong with JG? Where is it not clicking? Why the turnovers? I remember we chatted because after I worked that Tennessee-Mizzou game, and JG was saying, for the first time in that opening game, his mind wasn't racing. He felt that comfortable with what he was doing offensively, with what Chaney wanted him to do, all of that. I mean, he came into this season, I thought, with confidence and feeling comfortable. So where's the miscue here in his game and what he does?
He's just inconsistent. There's high highs and there's low lows. And we've seen too many examples of that to deny it. That's what he has become. And that's not good enough for quarterback in the SEC. And I only expect our players to do one thing, and that is give their all for Tennessee. That's on the football field. That's working hard. That's how they represent the Power T, how they carry themselves, being respectful, things like that. He's done that, and he has not produced the way he should produce. So I'm not upset with him or anything like that. I think some of the criticism can go overboard. And that's the day and age we live in, because people are able to say whatever they want to say behind the keyboard without any type of accountability. But some guys have it, some guys don't. For Jared Gantano, he's gave his all for Tennessee. It's just not good enough. And you look at the position that Tennessee is in right now, normally you have other quarterbacks that you can go to when someone's not playing well. That's the way it's supposed to be. If someone fumbles, a running back fumbles, you put someone else in. Someone drops a pass, you put someone else in. You miss a tackle, you put someone else in. And that's when you know you have the depth, you have a culture of competition that makes the entire team better. And Tennessee just doesn't have that at the quarterback position, and that's what's so frustrating.
And to me, Swain, this has become as much of a Jim Chaney and a developmental issue as much as it is a JG issue, because in year three under Jeremy Pruitt, you've got to have a better secondary option, especially when you know – what you have at the quarterback position, and that's a guy that has not been consistent throughout his entire career. Isn't it up to Jim Chaney at this point to either make him comfortable in an elementary offense or develop somebody else?
Yeah, I mean, the offense is very elementary. I mean, you can't break it down any more simple than where they have it right now. You know, I've been on this program every Thursday for a while. Anytime there's been a transfer quarterback available, Don, I tell you, I've been like, hey, what's his number? Bring him in. Let's go. And I don't care if, like, he's not, you know, Jalen Hurts or someone like that. I just wanted more competition because, you know, cream rises to the top. And if those quarterbacks don't push Jared to be better, then they would take Jared's job. And if Jared would play bad, then you would be in a position where you could at least put someone else in, and it wouldn't be a significant drop-off, or you wouldn't feel like, well, I can't play this guy because he's not ready. You know, Tennessee had a Derek King or someone else. I mean, you could at least say, hey, man, go in and run around a little bit. I mean, do that. But the fact that, you know, you don't have those options, you know, kind of stinks. So, I mean, I go back to how you have a head coach, you have an offense coordinator, and together they don't have a quarterback that they both agree on that they brought in. That's where we are.
So along those same lines, is Caden Salter then the Jim Chaney quarterback of the future? Is it Harrison Bailey? Where does Tennessee go from here? Because look, I agree with you that if you want an example of putting a quarterback into the fire too early and ruining their confidence earlier in their career, that Jarrett Garantano is exhibit A of that. And now you have to avoid ruining Harrison Bailey's confidence as a freshman because you need him to produce for you in the future, or is Caden Salter just your guy starting next year or beyond with Jim Chaney?
Well, Jared's first year, he didn't have to play, you know.
Right.
He got 16, and he had a chance to watch Dobbs and learn from Dobbs how to conduct himself as a pro. And, you know, he didn't have to play until 17. And, you know, it was – by that time, it was a toxic mess for Jared. And so, you know, he had to maneuver through that. As far as, you know, Harrison Bailey, you got to think about when Jim Chain took over the job – Harrison Bailey was already committed to Tennessee, and Tennessee was still pursuing Haynes King out of Texas. And that young man decided to go to Texas A&M. But I think it's the reason why Jim Chaney wanted to bring in two quarterbacks. And so now you're looking at Caden Salter, and now this is the first, this will be the first time if the signature is the ink is dry and all that good stuff. I know he's committed. And he looks very, very solid, and I'm excited about him. But, you know, anything can happen. He will be the first player, the first quarterback that Jim Chaney and Jeremy Pruitt would have brought in, you know, this upcoming year. And I've watched his film. I mean, I love me some Caden Salter, man. He got a chance to be special, man. Yeah. Big arm, mobile, and, you know, I'm excited about someone else coming in. But then I look at next year. He's going to be a true freshman. He's going to be a true freshman. So, yeah, you better make sure that every other part of your football team is legit if you're going to play a true freshman.
Yeah, you mentioned again the other day we talked about at Tennessee's wide receivers getting chemistry with the quarterback and having those routes in practice and that time to be able to understand what a quarterback asks of you as a wide receiver. How much is that holding a guy like Harrison Bailey back that he hasn't had much time to work with the ones? So then Jeremy Pruitt puts in a Malachi Wideman and gives more snaps to Jalen Hyatt when Harrison Bailey takes over last week against Kentucky. Is that something that as a wide receiver you can develop quickly? How much time does that take to understand what your new quarterback asks of you as opposed to the other one?
I mean, it takes a lot of time. I mean, it takes the summer, the spring to develop that type of chemistry with your quarterback. But this is why the receivers have more responsibility. They have to make it easier for Harrison Bailey. Well, how do you do that? Well, you got to create more separation. You got to be better in the running game and blocking because everyone has to up their game if you're going to play a freshman quarterback. Everyone has to up their game if you're playing a quarterback that's struggling. And I look at the whole position. The whole position is struggling. So it doesn't matter if you go with Harrison Bailey or not. The fact is everyone has to up their game. Receivers got to create more separation. You know, line has to block better, give quarterback more room, more time to process. Everyone has to just up their game. But you usually get that chemistry during the spring, during the summer. It's really hard to just grab that right now. The thing about Harrison, you know, he went in with a second, third string offensive line blocking for him and the second, third string wide receivers, you know, throwing to. And so if he plays, this will be like the first time that he's had a first team offensive line in front of him and first team receivers to throw to. And again, that's a tough thing to ask a freshman playing against the number one team in the country.
Jason Swain, Tennessee wide receiver, our guest. Swain, on the way out here, I want to ask you this because I was talking to Will about it. I had listeners kind of trying to call in and give their take on it. That loss last week and in the manner that it happened, which was worse, the Georgia State loss last year or the way that Tennessee program lost last week?
Last week was worse.
It's not even a question. See, look at this. Everybody.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, last week was worse because when you got knocked down against Georgia and to come back and you know, do that, remember the Georgia State loss. Well, the next week, BYU, it was a different football team. The result was the same, but they lost in a different way. They weren't sleepwalking. It was just bad quarterback play and a big mistake at the end of the game on defense. But to play six quarters – the way we've had, you know, the Kentucky game for me is worse than Georgia State, because to have a quarterback be in the second year, Jim Chaney, be a 13th year senior and make those type of mistakes. I mean, it's worse. No, it's worse.
And to me, Swain, real quick, the timing of it also makes a difference, because the first one happened, Georgia State happened, and then your quarterback looks the exact same a year later and change. That, to me, the timing of it makes it worse, because it looked like the same mistakes and the same quarterback that trotted out there and lost to Georgia State in week one last season.
It was tough to watch. It was tough to watch Saturday, that's for sure.
Bounce All right. back this weekend, Swain.
What'd you say?
I said a bounce back this weekend, Swain.
Titans and Steelers play this weekend. Should be a good one.
Hey, Tennessee might be tough to watch. Jason Swain, never tough to listen to. We appreciate your time as always, man.
Thank you. Y'all have a good one.
Thanks, Swain.
Jason Swain bringing it as always here on 3HL. We'll continue this topic and also get to a topic discussed yesterday. Don, you asked Chris Lowe about what's going on in Knoxville, and he gave a very interesting answer. We'll play that audio next when we come back here on 3HL, powered by the Tennessee Lottery on 104.5.
The Midday One.
NHL powered by the Tennessee Lottery here on 104.5 The Zone. Don Davenport, Will Bowling with you here this afternoon until 6 o'clock. Wanted to revisit a conversation y'all had with Chris Lowe yesterday. Don, you asked Chris about the quarterback position at Tennessee, and he had some interesting thoughts on where Tennessee goes next at quarterback.
Tennessee's got to play better around the quarterback position, period. They got to be more consistent and certainly play to their capability and talent in the offensive line. They got to play cleaner football. And that's not just the offensive line, but the penalties. They got to be better at blitz pickups, making more plays in space. There's a lot of things around the quarterback that they've got to get tightened up. Now, that said, I agree with you. I don't think this is the week or this is the bunch to throw a true freshman to the Wolves against Alabama. You know, Harrison Bailey he didn't have a spring practice. And how much does that kid rep, period, to get ready
not
for
a
football?
Lot. He missed 14 days.
Yeah, let alone Alabama. So this is not the time or place. Now, I know Jeremy, they've been doing these extra practices for young players, scrimmages, to try to get some younger players ready. Because, again, to your point, later in the season, this season more than ever, you're going to have some young players and players that maybe you haven't counted up step up and play and contribute. But I just don't think this is the time to do that. Now, that said, Derek Garantano has turned the football over way too many times the last 2 weeks for someone who's played as much football as he has. Not every turnover has been his complete fault, but you can't turn the football over that position against some of the teams they played and have any chance of winning. I think what they're doing this week is they're just trying to see who is the best, most efficient, most consistent player at that position. I don't know where Jeremy Pruitt is now with the Maurer kid. I don't know, you know, if they feel like he's ready or there's enough trust to go with him. So I think it probably comes down to Garantano and Trout, who they'll start. And one day I think maybe he'll stick with Garantano. The next day I think, well, try something new. Maybe you play multiple quarterbacks. Here's the thing that I think that the staff is wrestling with. If you're going to finish out this season and be a 500 or certainly a team that has a chance to be a winning football team, who gives you the best chance to do that right now? And if you lose Garantano for the rest of the year and Harrison Bailey is not ready to play and you're not sure about the other two, well, that's a tough – you talk about tough sledding the rest of the year against an all-league schedule. So there's a lot of things they got to sort through here. I know fans are frustrated to see Garantano turn it over and make a lot of the same mistakes that he's made to this point. But trust me, Jeremy Pruitt, Jim Chaney, Chris Winkie, they're there every day in practice. They're watching, and I know some kids just don't play well or play better in practice than they do in games, and that's probably been the case with Garantano. You know, Josh Dobbs was sort of the opposite of that.
Yeah.
He didn't always play great in practice, but, boy, he was a gamer. He was a kid that just willed them so many key first downs and touchdowns and a lot of wins. You know, so he was the opposite of that. So it's a tough call, Dawn. I would say, just based on what I know and who I've talked to, you're going to see a couple quarterbacks play on Saturday against the Crimson Tide. I'd be very, very surprised, though, if you see him throw Harrison Bailey out there at the start.
Well, there
so
you go. see a couple of quarterbacks, most likely. And just what Swain just said, somebody grab the freaking job.
Right. That's
nobody wants it. Grab the job.
It's interesting hearing him say that, because I think it's a foregone conclusion at this point. You're going to see multiple guys. But I would probably put Harrison Bailey in that mix to at least get some second half reps. Chris Lowe's making it sound like it's JT Shroud. It's Jarrett Garantano. That's probably the first two still that come on the field in this game on Saturday against Alabama. I think you might see Harrison Bailey, though, get more snaps than either of those two guys, especially if the game is out of reach at halftime. Then you start going into your bye week by putting some throws on tape for Harrison Bailey to analyze going into the bye week as the starter getting ready for Arkansas.
My favorite Coach Mackism ever is that you just can't manufacture experience. So you got to get it somehow. And is it ideal to be getting it against the top team in the country, or arguably one of the top teams in the country? Probably not. You know, but you can't manufacture experience, and he's got to get it somehow. So there you go. Hey, here's the silver lining of that. This is an Alabama defense that isn't necessarily as stout as Alabama defenses have been in the past.
No, it's absolutely right. It's crazy. We live in a world where Arkansas likely has a better defense than Alabama right now, but that's the reality of 2020 in the SEC. And going back to what we were talking about earlier of what makes Saturday a success for Tennessee football, to me, they've got to be really creative on offense. And this is where Jim Chaney has got to get outside of who he is as an offensive coordinator a little bit, because he is who he is, developmental, starts up front. We're going to run the football. We're going to run play action. This is who Jim Chaney is. I've got to know that the game hasn't passed Jim Chaney by, for lack of a better term. I'm not saying I'm at that point to make that statement yet, but Jim Chaney needs to show me that he is still able to be innovative and be creative with the guys he has, because I don't care who the quarterback is on Saturday. He's getting paid too much money to not build around who he has. He's one of the highest paid coordinators in college football. It's time for Jim Chaney to make his paycheck, to be creative with the guys you have, whether that's Jimmy Holiday at quarterback in a wildcat package, whether that's Jarrett Garantano, JT Shroud. I don't care what number takes the snap at quarterback. Jim Chaney has got to be more creative in this offense, because there was none of that on Saturday against Kentucky whatsoever.
And those around the quarterback have to play better. So there you go. Good participation on that topic. Appreciate that. Coming up 5 o'clock hour here on 3HL, we will dive deep into the Titans and Steelers. Brooke Pryor, who covers the Steelers for ESPN, will join us in this hour as well. So we'll dig deep into Big Ben and what he has done this year, and how they're having success offensively there.
It is the sixth matchup in the Super Bowl era between unbeaten teams at 5-0 or better. We'll dive into Titans and Steelers when we come back. This is 3HL, powered by the Tennessee Lottery, here on 104.5.